Good morning.
So this birth and rebirth, actually, it was pretty intimidating. But I decided to start with what you know. Now, I've given birth twice, and both times, upon being presented with my newborn child, my reaction was the same. I looked at this wriggling little bundle and exclaimed in surprise, "It's a baby!" My husband loves this story. He thinks it's really funny. And he says things like, "What did you expect it to be? Were you hoping for a puppy?" Now, the answer is no. I was not hoping for a puppy. Now, the reasons behind my exclamation are actually a little bit complicated, and they underscore some of the points that I would like to make about birth today. Whether we're talking about actually giving birth to a baby, or the metaphorical birth of painting, or writing, or some other creative endeavor, I think that there are four truths I want to talk about when it comes to birth. So truth number one is that birth is arduous. Ask anyone and they'll tell you. I mean, when I was this high, I knew birth was going to be arduous. In the Bible, when God casts Eve out of the Garden of Eden, he says, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children." And the Quran shares the story of Mary giving birth to Jesus, saying, and I like this, "And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. She said, 'Oh, I wish I had died before this and was in oblivion, forgotten.'" I actually like Mary a little more when she says the modern, the ancient equivalent of "shoot me now." In Buddhism, the first noble truth opens with, "This is the noble truth of suffering. Birth is suffering." The arduous nature of birth doesn't just extend to actual childbirth. Bringing forth any creative work involves labor. Just maybe not the kind of labor where you're counting your contractions. There's a common conception that artists must suffer for their art. Paul Gauguin said, "I'm a great artist and I know it. The reason I am great is because of all the suffering I have done." Russian painter Wassily Kandinsky said, "The artist is not a Sunday child for whom everything immediately succeeds. He does not have the right to live without duty. The task that is assigned to him is painful. It is a heavy cross for him to bear." And Maya Angelou is quoted as saying, "There is no agony like bearing an untold story inside of you." So to get back to my own exclamation of, "It's a baby," I believe that while I was giving birth, I was too caught up in that arduous work to think beyond it. The all-consuming experience of childbirth blocked out any thoughts of the baby I was working to bring into the world. In fact, it blocked out all thoughts of pretty much any kind. I was beyond thought in an altered state. Interestingly, this altered state, or a variation on it, is one that many artists talk about as well. In his TED Talk, and this name is very intimidating, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi discusses creative flow. It's a state that's characterized by being completely focused, concentrated, feeling outside of everyday reality, and feeling a sense of timelessness. So to get back to my exclamation, while the intense and altered experience of birth impacted me significantly, there was more to it than that. This brings me to my second truth about birth, which is that birth is surprising. I may have known that I was having a baby, but I didn't know that I was having this particular baby. Until I actually saw my child and held my child, I couldn't imagine what it would be like. And it was just as new and surprising the second time as the first, because it was a whole different baby. The surprising nature of birth applies whether we're talking about figurative or literal birth again. The creative process doesn't always turn out how we expect it to turn out. During an interview, in discussing one of the characters from her novels, the author J.K. Rowling said, "It was a big surprise to me that Mad-Eye Moody turned out the way he did. I really like him and I didn't expect to." Painters often discuss being surprised by how their paintings turn out, and musicians are sometimes surprised by the turns their songs take. At this time of the year, we see the world being reborn all around us, especially on a beautiful day like today. And this process reveals new and surprising things to me at this time of year almost every day. Plants and flowers pop up in my garden in places I didn't expect them to. like the crocus that somehow took root on my lawn, or my raspberry bushes that just go forth without my consent. And even weeds can be surprising. So on Friday, I saw my first dandelion, and I just couldn't resist smiling at its sunny yellow face. And each spring, there's always something surprising and even a little bit miraculous to me about the rebirth all around me. So this surprise points to my third truth about birth and rebirth, which is that it is mysterious. Whether we're talking about a baby hidden in a womb, a seed hidden beneath the ground, or a creative idea taking root in a human mind, much of the process is hidden from view. In this way, birth and rebirth require an element of faith in something that we can't fully control or understand. Professor of Horticulture Alan Armitage says, "Gardening simply does not allow one to be mentally old because too many hopes and dreams are yet to be realized. The one absolute of gardeners is faith." And artist Judith Schechter says, "Preconceptions and knowledge really only get you to the edge of where creativity begins. Then intuition and faith take over. The creative process, whether in nature or in art, is not easily observed, described, or quantified. And yet the mystery ultimately is what many faith traditions try to explain. The spring equinox in particular is a time when many festivals celebrate the mystery of birth and rebirth. In Egypt, the holiday Sham el-Nessim originated over 2,500 years ago as a day to offer gifts of food to the gods as supplication for a good harvest. Many of the symbols that we currently associate with Easter, such as rabbits and eggs, were celebrated as fertility symbols in paganism, like the children's story that I read mentioned. In England, the ancient site of Stonehenge was built as a sort of solar calendar, helping people to identify significant dates like solstices and equinoxes for both agricultural and religious purposes. And the Persian holiday of Nowruz, a compound word that means new light, marks the beginning of a new year. It falls on the spring equinox, and it's the most important holiday in Iran. It's associated with the rebirth of nature. People engage in extensive spring cleaning, buy new clothes, sprout grain, bring flowers into their homes, visit family members, and picnic outdoors. So it's all around us. The mystery of birth and rebirth is also celebrated in our faith stories. Most of us are familiar with the Christian stories of Jesus' birth and resurrection. However, it may not be the only such story. In his book, The Pagan Christ, Tom Harper draws parallels between the Egyptian stories about Horus and the Bible stories about Jesus. He claims that Horus was a divine child born of a virgin who became the redeemer of the dead and the leader of the resurrection. This synchronicity that we see in the diverse celebrations of nature's rebirth and the mystery of birth suggests to me a fourth truth about birth, which is that it is universal. When I was pregnant with Hannah, my first child, this really was driven home to me. While I experienced the aches and pains of pregnancy and anticipated the birth to come, it occurred to me that every single person I met had the same beginning. We were all carried by a woman, experienced birth, and grew into the people we are today. And this isn't actually just true for human beings. This is true for all kinds of species. So since I had my own children, actually, I particularly feel an empathy with animal mothers. Every year I take my kids to the PNE, and every year there's a mother pig there, and she's kind of lying on her side looking world weary while all of these little piglets jump around her. And my children are always exclaiming over the piglets, "They're so cute. Look at them. Aren't they adorable, Mom? I want one." But I always look at this mother pig and think, oh, I feel your pain, sister. So we may all have been born, but few of us remember our own births. But the cyclical nature of life means that birth is all around us. It's especially present at this time of year, like I said. But even on the darkest days of winter, life's resilience has a way of showing through. Babies are born, seeds are planted, endings come, and new beginnings follow. In fact, many religious traditions teach that death and birth are two sides of the same coin. The Bhagavad Gita says, "For one who has taken birth, death is certain. And for one who has died, birth is certain. Writer and yoga teacher Julie Choi Trepkow says birth, like death, transforms the individual, compelling the release of all that was into the unknown, an ultimate surrender. And Buddhism teaches that we should not fear death as it leads to rebirth. Regardless of where you stand on reincarnation, and I actually have no idea myself, we can still see the birth, death, rebirth cycle all around us. In the garden, old plants die and shed their leaves, and as they decompose, they nourish the soil that new plants grow from. The plants that go into hibernation prepare themselves for rebirth at this time of the year as the spring comes and the days grow longer and warmer. Always, everywhere, the earth is renewing itself through death and rebirth. This arduous, surprising, mysterious, universal process of birth and rebirth weaves through each and every one of our lives. Whether we're giving birth to a creative project, a child, a garden, or our own selves, we can't escape it or control it, at least not entirely. So what then? In my own birth experiences, in the moments when I felt most overwhelmed, my natural inclination was to struggle against the process. In fact, I spent most of my labor with my son, Jacob, informing my midwife that actually I changed my mind. I didn't want to do this anymore. Could I somehow get out of it? I was looking for an escape clause. There was no escape clause. So I was carried along by a physical process that swept through my body without my consent. And the harder I fought against it, the more overwhelmed I felt. I would like to tell you that I managed to overcome that overwhelmed and struggling state, but I didn't. However, I interviewed somebody who did. Singer, doula, yoga teacher, and mother of three, Tara McLean Grand, had this to say when I spoke to her. When I was birthing my third child, I was able to change the extreme pain and the suffering I was attaching to that pain. I realized that was a choice I was making. I was really suffering and just begging to get out of it, and then a switch happened. I got really into the moment, really present, and all of a sudden that pain just turned into a sensation. It was just a sensation I was experiencing. I didn't add the suffering to it. I had the power to do that. Suddenly, tears started streaming down my face because I couldn't believe how beautiful the moment was. I couldn't believe how perfect the pain was. I couldn't believe that we all come into the world this way, and it all made sense in that moment. See, that's what I wish I had done. I do. In those moments when we're suffering and struggling and working, fighting against what is happening to us, maybe we have the power to make a choice too. By allowing ourselves to truly inhabit that moment, we can change our experience. We can see the creative process that permeates all life more clearly. This is the process through which we are born and reborn. Is it worth it? I say it is. I believe that birth is another word for that creative impulse that we're all born with. Through that creative impulse, we leave our mark on the world and express our humanity most clearly. It might be hard. It might not turn out the way we expected, and we might not understand how it all works. But the more we embrace that act of creating and fully inhabit the moment, the more it will all make sense. I believe that is our truest legacy. Author Ray Bradbury sums this up very well in this quote from Fahrenheit 451. "Everyone must leave something behind when he dies," my grandfather said. "A child, or a book, or a painting, or a house, or a wall built, or a pair of shoes made, or a garden planted. Something your hand touched some way so your soul has somewhere to go when you die. And when people look at that tree or that flower you planted, you're there." And so I choose to create, even if it's hard, even if I'm not sure how it will turn out. Along the way, I like to believe I'm making my mark and trusting the creative process. And this spring, I invite you to join me. Thank you.
Thank you.